I think it got better.
I think so too.
I think at the last minute, technology came in and saved the day.
Whew.
So now it's up to us to fail.
Okay, I can do that.
Welcome to episode 233 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
Summer. I think I said that last week, but still summer.
It's the nice part about summer is that generally it's not just the one week.
Yeah, it's kind of lasting lots of sunny days. So I love this time of year. Love it.
We're not having the stretch that you are, evidently.
Yeah.
We get ups and downs.
Yeah, we're better here mm-hmm. than everywhere else. Oh, also winding down the end of school for the kids. So I think other people listening to this are probably aware that elementary schools, high schools, it's all winding down or over.
Right.
So lots of time for photography for everybody these days.
That's one of the things about summer. So we're not even going to talk about that. Just kidding. Of course we are.
We're going to talk about Amazon though, right?
Amazon, where to buy your summer.
Yeah, where to get your summer shorts and your sunglasses.
I would say, well, you probably have those, but where do you get your sunscreen?
Good question. From my wife.
I'm actually going somewhere with this.
Oh, I say, hey, dear, pass the sunscreen. That's how I get it.
I actually hate putting sunscreen on in general, like life-wise.
Okay.
And when you have kids, now you have to put it at least, you know, double on.
Right.
Because you have to put theirs on and all that too. But sunscreen is one of the places I don't like to try to save money.
Okay.
And not for protection, just for decent smell.
Agreed.
I happen to just really like the Hawaiian tropic sort of coconutty smell. It just reminds me of, you know, vacation.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Coppertone also makes some nice smelling stuff.
They do. That's what it is. I don't even know if it's nice smelling. It's just that sense.
I just like it. Yeah.
It's that sense memory.
Yeah, I agree.
And so it was kind of funny because two weeks ago, very sunny day on a Saturday for our doubleheader. And I had sunscreen. And most of the guys just have the cheap stuff that you buy at the local store here. But I actually bring back Hawaiian Tropic from Canada because you can't find Hawaiian Tropic here in Germany for whatever reason.
Okay.
So I have that, put it on, and our pitcher, American guy, goes, "Do you smell like coconuts?" I said, "Well, yeah, I have the sunscreen. Can I have some?" Yeah, go ahead. And he said, "You know what? Every year when I was a kid, we'd go on vacation to San Diego, and my dad would always wear this. So it just reminds me of vacation with my dad." And I was like, "Ah, great." So the following week, last week, he comes up to me kind of sheepishly, "Hey, can I have some sunscreen? You want to smell like your dad?" Yeah.
I'm not going out in the sun today, but
yeah, it was midnight. But yeah, so but I feel the same way about it. And there's a tie in here. Besides, buy it on Amazon. The tie in for me is that's what I try to achieve with my summer photography, specifically my summer photography, is to look at the pictures of your kids doing things at a certain place and remember what it's like to be there. Remember what it's like to experience that. What was it like? What did it smell like when your kid was on the swings that day or at the beach or whatever it is?
I appreciate that. I agree. I think that there's definitely a nostalgia factor that I'm also hoping to capture when I take these photos.
There you go. So, yes, if you do buy it on Amazon, click through our site.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have an update with some of my recent photography purchases.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago. It wasn't last week's episode, but I'm pretty sure it was the week prior to that where I talked about, you know, having some frustrations with the Yongnuo triggers in the last little while.
You've fallen out of love.
Yeah, well, not that I've fallen out of love, but I was just having there's definitely a few times where I've been out ready to set things up and, you know, just things weren't working properly. So I got to the bottom of it. Oh, and I had ordered, I think I had mentioned that I'd ordered on Amazon a couple weeks ago, a couple of those little PC sync, just like the little PC syncs, because the 430 EX flashes don't have a PC sync port. And I thought, oh, maybe there's a workaround here to use one of those little PC syncs that I could just attach to my flash and then use the PC sync portion of the Yongnuo triggers and not the hot shoe portion.
Right.
Right. So the short of that is we'll set the flashes off. We'll not be able to use any of the manual control functions. So I can't, you know, change my flash power from the camera, all the cool stuff that I like about it. It will not allow me to do that. I completely go full manual and do everything walking around to the flash heads, with that route and get very reliable flash sync. But I want more. I want the ability to do it all from the camera. So
only because though, and let me say when I first went off camera flash, I bought the there was limited options. Yongnuo wasn't a thing, and so I have the simple cyber syncs from Alien Bees from Paul Buff,
which are a great product.
They do, yeah, but they do exactly one thing. They pop your flash. That's all they do.
Right.
Okay. So they don't have those controls. But because it wasn't a thing, it wasn't like I was missing it. Going, oh man.
Yes.
When you came along and started doing your off camera flash, it was an option. And
right.
At about or less than the same price.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was very, like when I priced them out, it was pretty much exactly the same price as buying the exact triggers you have versus the ones that would, from Yongnuo, that would do all of this directly from my flash. I can change all the power settings, high speed sync from off camera. I can do all of that. And at a quarter the cost of the Pocket Wizards.
And how do you keep them on the farm once they've seen Paris?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I got those little adapters and it didn't do what I wanted it to do. So I said, all right, back to the drawing board. I'm going to go through each one of those because I have four of those Yongnuo triggers and I'm going to figure out if there's one bad one, if there's two bad ones, what the problem is, because it works 90% of the time, but that 10% of the time, I get very frustrated. And like I say, if someone is paying me to do work, I don't want to have to be fumbling around with my stuff. So I basically went through everything and tried everything in all different setups. And there was basically one bad trigger. So if that bad trigger got on my camera or got on one of the flashes, then I was going to be in trouble. So I realized that three or four are perfectly fine, but one trigger just doesn't work properly. So again, in all the use I've had, I guess one out of four not working is probably a fair ratio after 2+ years of use with those triggers. And like I say, heavy use with those triggers. So what I did instead, so now I figure I'm down a trigger. I usually don't have a need for more than two flashes, but occasionally I might want to use a three flash setup. And I can use one of the adapters on the third flash anyways, because I only have two Canon flashes that I would really need to control all through the camera. So,
okay, so hang on. So when you're using the Yongnuos to like use the ETTL functions and the manual controls, so you see you have the manual controls, it's right in the camera, correct?
Yeah, so there's a camera, like I can go into my camera menu and then go into external flash and then, like you say, adjust the power output from the camera to each of the flashes individually. And if I had a third Canon flash, I could do three. So it essentially allows you A, B, C groups.
So it will do dedicated flashes. It won't, like these don't control your $40 Nikons.
Right. So okay. I could trip the $40 Nikon, but again, just via the PC sync, but I can't control the power output to the Nikon. That's a whole separate Nikon system. So they have the Canon system and then they have the Nikon system. And so you can't do both at the same time. As far as I know, with a Canon trigger, all you can do is trip that flash, which would be fine. But, and like I said, I could use it that way just fine. I would just have to walk over to that single flash.
Challenge extended, Yongnuo.
But here was the glitch that I was finding, and I think a lot of people, when I've read the forums on the Yong No Triggers, the same complaint seems to keep coming up, and it's a common problem that I encounter with the triggers. The only real problem that I face with the triggers, and it is that they have button placement on the side of the triggers that controls like the grouping. So you set the channel on one side, and then you can set whether the group ABC on the other side, and the buttons are easy to bump and knock. And as soon as you change that, all of a sudden your flash doesn't fire because now all of a sudden the camera's on a different channel versus what the flashes are on. And so I again, it's one of those things that when you're moving around, it's really easy to knock that button. And I've done it many times and I can't figure out why it's not working. And now I got to walk back around and check everything. So what I decided to do and what a lot of people sort of recommended doing, reading these forums, was since I bought these triggers in the last, I don't know when they put it out, but I'm going to say in the last year, Canon put out a dedicated transmitter for this Yong Nuo setup. So it didn't exist when I first bought them because I was an early adopter. But since they've come out with this transmitter that essentially has a full LCD on the top of it that allows you to control all the power outputs right from the top of the camera. And they've redesigned the buttons so there's no buttons on the side. So there's no easy knocking.
So this is Yong Nuo made this?
This is Yong Nuo made this. Right. I didn't even know this existed. I've just basically came across it. And I was like, I think this is the answer. So it was like $60. And Amazon carried it. So I basically said, all right, well, I just basically flushed $40 down the toilet in these flash adapter cords. But okay, I can resell them if I want. I haven't used them. And I bought
this. But that's only two blackjack hands in Vegas, though.
Exactly. Like I'm good with it. It was a $40 risk. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I'm okay with it. But what I did was I bought this transmitter, and then I basically have been testing it out. It is magnificent. So I am completely back on the Yong Nuo trigger train.
Wait, you've got it already?
I already got it 2 days, buddy. 2 days with the Amazon order.
This is the part of technology when I whine and cry about why technology is ruining us.
Right.
This is why technology is awesome.
Oh yeah, I basically decided I wanted this, and then I bought it on Amazon. And like I say, 2 days later, it's at my front door. And when I bought those triggers initially, like I had to go through the Yong Nuo Canada site, and I had to wait like a good 2 weeks anyways to get them. And then I bought one set from China, and that took longer. And this was 2 days at my front door, and the exact same price. It might have even been slightly cheaper than the Yong Nuo website. So it was awesome. Amazon Prime. And free shipping and the whole deal. So what I will say is that this transmitter thing is absolute genius. So I can do everything from the LCD, which also is handier than going back and forth through Canon's menu system. Right. All of it's right on the top. I can go ABC. I can change zoom. I can change power output, each flash, ETTL. All of it cycles through. It's super intuitive, user friendly, way easier than the Canon menu system. And like I said, I can just look down and check everything at a glance. And works perfectly. I've yet to have a misfire on it. So
and does it occupy your hot shoe on your camera?
Yes. So the only time you wouldn't want to use it is if you plan to do kind of the pass through where you wanted to have an on-camera flash at the same time that you were doing these off cameras, which in all honesty, I think I've done once. It doesn't come up very often. So if I really wanted to do that, I just have to swap out and use one of the other transceivers. And because it acts as a transmitter, now I can use my 3 out of 4 that work properly as my 3 dedicated flash units. So it just basically replaced my broken unit that I had to toss.
So that was broken.
It was just one broken unit.
Yeah. I thought the end of the story was going to be, oh, I bumped the switch and never put it back.
No. That was sometimes the problem, but one of them just doesn't fire properly. Right. So
when you do buy something like this, like the original Yong Nuo triggers that you bought.
Yeah.
My advice, which I never take on my own, advice, is look at this and say, okay, I just dropped $120 or whatever it costs for the 4 triggers.
Well, for 2, it's about that. About $110 for 2. So figure okay. $220 for 4, yeah.
So you dropped $220. You should say to yourself, okay, this should last me 2 years or whatever. Whatever's going to make you happy. If you say, all right, if in 2 years one of these is broken, I'm going to be happy because only one of these is broken.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the way I am looking at it.
I sometimes try to convince myself of that in retrospect. But I don't look forward and go, all right, like this lens that I have, I bet $600. If I, you know, use it well for 5 years and have to replace it, okay, great. That's fine. I think I win.
Right.
And so when that day comes along where it breaks at 5.5 years, you're like, oh, $200 to fix it? What?
Yeah.
I don't like that. Or the situation I find myself in now is, do I really want to drop X amount of dollars on a new computer?
Right.
You know, but when did I buy my last computer? I think the one I'm on now is, is it seven? This will be 7 years on this one computer.
Yeah, I mean, that's way better than the average life expectancy of a computer. You don't think 7 years. Yeah, so no, I think you've done well. My latest one is, I want to say, just under 4, and I'm starting to think the same thing. I was like, oh, when do I get a new computer? Mm-hmm. Not that I need one. It's a want more than a need, but at 7 years, you're looking at more of a need than a want.
Well, this is where technology just passes you by. And, you know, early on, or I'd say 5, 6, 7 years ago, I think people were a lot more frustrated by that. Think, oh man, like they keep doing this. Like with the iPads or something like that. Like they, you know, they purposely speed everything else up so that your iPad's too slow and you have to buy a new one. And you know, whether they do that or not, I don't know. However, that's the feeling. But now I think people are kind of, you know, used to the fact that every 5 years you have to buy a new one. So I think.
Yes, I agree. And just to go back to that transmitter, because I know a lot of people in the past, you know, whatever year and a half, 2 years, have been emailing and saying, oh, I bought the triggers or whatever, those Yongnuo triggers. If you have and you didn't know, like myself, that transmitter was out there, I think it's, again, for $60, it is an absolute steal in terms of what it does. Mm-hmm. It's mind-blowing to me that kind of technology A exists and B is that cheap. Like it blows me away. And you think about what because I've been seriously considering the Pocket Wizards. One Pocket Wizard TT5 is $220. Like, just
how
one
dare they.
And again, great product. I really, really want to own them. At some point, I will. When these all essentially crap out on me, I will be buying that next system. But it's a tough one to swallow at, you know, the same setup is, we're talking $800, right?
Right.
And then that's just for the triggers. If you want that same, I think it's called the AC3 controller that goes on top of your camera to adjust it, like this Yongnuo trigger is doing, to adjust everything separately, there's another $80 or $90. So, you know, you're talking about almost $1,000 for just, a flash trigger setup like this.
That's a lot.
So yeah, if anybody has those Yongnuo receivers, I highly encourage you to buy this this transmitter. You will love it.
Wonderful. I look forward to seeing it. I knew about it vaguely. I saw pictures like when it first came out, and never really paid much attention to it.
And it will completely. It completely resolves the problem of accidentally bumping the side buttons. The buttons are completely on the top, and you just don't bump them. They're not easily changed, so you have to actually, you know, press them. So,
but the side buttons still exist on the receivers because it's a transceiver,
yes.
Correct?
Like it's, okay. Yes, they exist on the receivers, and like you say, you never bump those because once they go on the flash, mm-hmm. you're not touching any of that. It's you knock the ones on the camera.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Quick baseball story for you before we move on.
Okay.
In my life of playing baseball, I have never really fouled a ball off my leg. You know, you see these guys in the bigs now, and I don't know, for quite some time, but all wear like the super crazy padding when they're hitting, like on their front foot.
Yeah, it's usually on like the shin, like a shin pad kind of.
Yeah,
thing, right?
I'm not a fan. I don't think. And then the guys have the big robot arm, like the elbow protector.
Oh yeah, that was a Barry Bonds thing, right?
That's nonsense. That's cheating, by the way. That's so you can basically just hang right over the plate, and don't worry about getting hit. Like getting hit is kind of part of the game, part of the pitcher's strategy to keep you off the plate. It's right. It's how it works. So if you have armor, that's just not fair. Anyways, besides that, but these guys all wear these you know, leg guards, and I've never owned one.
Okay.
And last game, big guy threw me a real tough slider. I battled, fouled it off right off the inside of my leg. I am kind of a wuss. No, that's not true. It happened in the second inning. I played until I had to come out in the eighth inning. I had no choice because my leg ballooned up so big. I thought, like, I honestly was, it was my sock. It was like I had a baseball stuffed into my baseball sock.
Right.
And it was that big, and I thought, oh no. And at that point, I couldn't actually, my ankle had swollen up, and I couldn't actually physically move my ankle anymore.
Right.
So it had hurt all game. That the pain wasn't the issue, but the immobility was a problem.
Okay.
And so I was going to send you some pictures because now the whole foot is black and blue. And
oh, nice.
So I was wondering if I'm going to lose my leg.
Yes.
Oh, I knew it. I should have worn that padding. It's honestly, there's no end to the story besides the fact that, wow, does that hurt. Like, I thought I broke my leg.
Yeah, well, you did you get an x-ray?
No.
There could be a crack. Absolutely, there could be a crack.
Really? Well,
the black and blue is just bruising that's coming from blood. So obviously you hit a big meaty part of your leg, it's going to bleed and it's going to bruise. But we can talk more about this off the air if you want my physio advice. I'm sure this
we have a team physio guy.
Yeah.
Who's at the games. Like he's usually at the games. And okay. So at the end of the inning, because I was on base, long story short, I got picked off a second base to end the inning, essentially because I couldn't move. Like the guy just turned and fired, and I'm like, nothing I can do. Because it just started to swell up while I was on second base.
Right.
So I come hobbling off the field. I'm supposed to go out to left field, and I told the umpire, like, hey, hang on a second. I need to see if I broke my leg. Because I don't want to come out of the game.
Right.
And so they kind of put some pressure on, like, no, you got to go. And so the physio guy came and looked at it, pushed it a few times and said, no, you probably didn't break it. So you can keep playing if you want.
Right.
But then I couldn't. Like, I physically, my ankle wouldn't let me. So we made the sub. So that was 7 days ago. So I'm assuming it's not broken.
Yeah. And you can walk on it and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably not, but you could have just a little hairline crack. You hit it that hard, absolutely. Uh-huh. You could have a crack in it.
But maybe I'll get it checked out. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. There's a happy ending to that story.
Well, I have a game tomorrow, so it'll have to be next week. So, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did. I shot. I know we've talked about it in the past. Like, I've had this kind of idea of doing a green screen photo of a team, like a team photo done, kind of individual photos, green screen.
Okay, save it for the topic then.
Okay, because that's really the only interesting thing that I've done this week.
Interesting, because I shot zero, until the photo challenge yesterday, pretty much. I went back and looked, because every week we do the show notes and look back and I kind of go through my library of what I shot that week. And just kind of figure out anything interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have not taken a photo since my son cut his face last week.
Okay.
So I was like, wow, nothing. I don't mean interesting. I mean nothing. Didn't take the camera out.
And I took it out for the green screen, but then just again to do a challenge photo, and that was it for me too. So
after we shot our mouths off, about summer's here, photo time.
Yeah.
So yeah. There you go. Let's get into the photo challenge then.
Okay.
Now, it was to do with last week's topic, which was backlighting.
Right.
Backlighting a background, technically, was the topic, but...
Oh, I didn't know.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah. I thought...
I didn't know that was the topic. I just thought it was backlight.
Didn't you listen to the episode that we were...
I know you talked about backlighting a background, but the challenge was just backlight. So
right. Fair enough.
I did a backlight.
On a technicality, I'm not going to be too upset.
Okay.
But I thought it was clear that you wanted to do, that we're doing the exact technique we just discussed.
Okay.
But let's have a look at your back legs. It's still a cool photo, so not much to cry about here.
Yeah. And as soon as he said backlight, I don't know why, in my head, I had a view of a picture of like a concert picture.
So you're like, wow, Bette Midler, The Rose, go.
Yeah. I basically said, hey, Sarah, do you want to take a photo and make it look like you're on stage singing? And she was game for it. So
surprise.
I set up my Alien B light, and I think I talked about, I don't know, it was a previous Amazon purchase. I haven't really used it yet. We talked about gels and your use of gels. And so I had bought this little, I don't know what do you call barn door setup that goes over the Alien B light. And then it came with like a few different gels that just slide right over it. And so one was this, red gel. And I thought, I'm going to use that. I'm going to make a concert photo just with a one light, backlit photo of I've got a microphone that we put on like one of my light stands, like Sarah uses it. We've kind of adapted a light stand to be a microphone stand, and she loves to get up and sing on it. And I just said, hey, just grab the microphone and make like you're singing on a concert. And she kind of put the hand up and she started singing. She's like, do I have to sing or do I just fake like I'm singing? I said, do whatever you want. And so she just basically did this. I snapped, I don't know, four or five photos. Some she had their finger up. Some it was the fist. And I had different angles. And this is one of the whatever six photos that I snapped. And just liked it. Just like the fist and the angle and just the way I wanted to see that light in the background. I liked how it looked. And the end, that's it. A really, really simple photo. So.
Okay, so you have two lights going here though, correct?
No, well, that's one light.
The light that you're using for lighting, we actually see as well.
That's it.
So it's not only is it lighting, it's actually a practical.
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive because I thought this was a two light setup based on the angle.
No. No, wow. It's not. This one I'm pretty sure I didn't have. I did at one point try to use a bounce across, like just like I threw down like the big silver reflector to see if I could get a little bounce back, but I liked it much better. I'm pretty sure this is one that did not have the bounce in the shot. I brought that in towards the end and I didn't actually like what it did. Mm-hmm. So I used that, but that's why I kind of positioned it's backlit, but positioned it so I could angle a bit of that light so I could just get a tiny bit on the other side of her face. So again, on the near side, I had to blow it out a bit in order to get a tiny bit on the near side of her face. So clearly I wanted to see like some of her features on that near side. Didn't want it to be complete silhouette.
Right.
And then I did a little bit of pulling the shadows up to just kind of get the right mix of light that I wanted. And then last thing, I just added the text. So it was a very, very simple setup. But no, it was a one light situation.
And it looks a lot like that sort of promotional photo in that even though this is done completely in camera, this is the kind of thing that they tend to do a composite of where they would have her and then throw that light in, you know, on a separate Photoshop layer kind of thing.
Yeah.
But to do it all practically, that's pretty cool.
And that's why I added the text is because as soon as Sarah saw the photo, she's like, I want that in my room. And, I said, okay, well, why don't I just kind of make it look like a concert poster or something. Mm-hmm. And, rather than, I mean, I could have just printed it as is and I haven't printed it yet, but she kind of liked her name in there. And I just, again, used the eyedropper and pulled the same color from, the red from her arm and then put it up in the text. So, so I'm going to get this printed and put it up in her room because she really likes it. I really liked it too. And I even dropped it onto my website too because we talked about I haven't updated my website in forever. So this is a photo that I dropped onto my website.
Okay, before you get it printed, my only nitpicks then are on the right-hand side, I'm seeing like a little something sticking out into the frame.
Okay.
About a third of the way up. From the bottom up, on the right-hand side, I see like a little black line of, like, I don't know if it's equipment or a shadow or whatever that is. That's an easy, very easy fix if you want.
Okay. I can't see it, but maybe it's just my monitor, the darkness. So I will look for that.
And then there's one ahead. A little bit higher as well, right next to the light that you could easily get rid of.
Yeah. I see that. So I will do that. Good feedback.
And there's the one speck of red in the light.
Itself. I know. I see that. I kind of like it, though.
Okay. Leave it.
Yeah. I looked at that, too, and I was like, yeah, I kind of like it, because that's just what the light's doing. So I didn't feel like I should mess with that. But, yeah, I did notice that as well. But, yeah, for anybody out there, this is you know what's interesting about this photo is that in my head, the reason I composed it is it's actually the idea is kind of from when we went to that Dwayne Gervin workshop, and you did that photo of the boxer, and there was a red light, and she was kind of posed of a similar kind of composition. She was off to one side, and he had a light, like an Alien B light, I think, and it was set up with a red light. You remember the photo, right?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And it was, again, included in the photo, and I really liked it. That's kind of why I did this the way I did it. So again, I pulled from a previous photo, even though it wasn't mine, it was yours, but a previous photo that I liked, and I just kind of used it in my own way to kind of get this. So there you go, taking what I learned and applying it, making it my own,
stealing it.
Yeah, basically stealing it. Yeah.
Essentially, anyone who says they don't steal those ideas is a liar.
Yeah,
everybody does it. That's kind of how you learn it. We call it learning, really.
Yeah, but like you see that, right? Like you see it in terms of the colors and stuff. I mean, totally different kind of photo, because obviously it wasn't really a backlit photo, but that just the way that red worked in the corner, it sort of becomes its own little character there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sort of take away. It adds to it, even though it's a bright light on that side.
And lastly, before we move on, is that it also, this is a good use of very limited space. I mean, typically this kind of photo you'd want, like, you know, a big giant stage where you get that backlight really far back from your subject. Yeah. But in this case, it's like, I'm going to make the best of this situation and just shoot what I have.
Yeah. And this is done in the corner of a room, just killing all the light. So like that light is literally like maybe a foot from the wall, maybe even less, half a foot. My daughter's in the corner of a room. Like, again, we're talking 2 feet from the wall at most. So again, you don't need the huge room. Yeah. If I had a big room, I could completely make it go to black and, you know, I could do maybe do it a little easier, but you don't require it.
It's just nice to have.
Yeah.
Okay, good photo. Let's have a look at mine.
Okay.
I did mine last night. I was trying to get this done earlier. Scheduling just didn't work out.
Okay.
Now, that does tie into the photo itself, that whole narrative. Because as soon as you know, we talked about this challenge, I thought, oh, I have something very specific in mind. I'm going to shoot somebody on, you know, this is the sunscreen guy, actually.
Okay.
Who wants to smell like his dad's vacation. So
yeah, he's sniffing his glove because it's got sunscreen on it.
But he's our game one pitcher, and so I wanted to get a photo of him on the mound, and I wanted to use the water in the background, but not necessarily look like the hose spraying. So we went out last night and got all set up, got the hose out, which is actually kind of a bit of a mission at our park, believe it or not. Started to get all set up, ready to go, and the skies just opened up with rain. And not the good kind of rain where it's like, oh, this will add to the effect. It was, oh my God, like I didn't bring an umbrella for my camera.
Okay.
So I had to basically go and, you know, track down some piece of plastic, like plastic wrap or something in our clubhouse, and go cut a piece off and hold it over my head while these guys were getting absolutely, because you know, one guy's in the photo, is one guy just off to the camera right holding the hose. We still needed the hose because the rain wasn't enough that it could provide a good backlight, or a good background. And so these guys are just getting absolutely hammered on with rain, and I'm trying to get the shot done, boom. And like you, one of the flashes isn't firing.
Okay.
And I'm screaming, the backlight isn't going. It turns out it was nothing to do with the trigger. It was just a low battery. And because, even though it was cloudy and this was about 8:30 at night, there was still enough light that I really needed to kill the exposure.
Yeah.
And so I still needed like a full power from the flash, which when you are low on batteries means you get, you know, you get one pop every 2 minutes and you only have three of them. So you better get it right.
Right.
And so that was their product. So this is the photo that came out. I like it. I'm going to redo this under more controlled circumstances when I'm not running around with two opportunities to do it in the pouring rain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, boom. What do you think?
I'm not sure. It. I mean, again, I see baseball and I see the mound, and then I just don't even know what I'm looking at after that. Like, it doesn't ring of any context or any baseball, and the background's so orange that, you know, it looks like rain, but then it looks like crazy bright sunshine light. So, again, I look at it and I'm just kind of looking at it going, I'm not sure what this is. It's not a bad photo. It's just it doesn't ring of baseball to me in any way. The background gets completely washed away with all of what's going on with that bright light, but the color tones seem wrong to me.
The color tones?
Yeah, like the orange on the background. It just doesn't seem to make sense.
Okay.
So my brain is puzzled here when I'm looking at it. Again, I don't know why that the background is so orange. And it's not that it's a bad photo. I like everything about the guy on the mound. It just doesn't seem to match up to me, this
orange. I did. It's orange because I made it orange. There's a three-quarter CTB on the backlight. There's a light basically, like, directly behind him is second base.
And why not blue here? Like, to me, blue would make much more sense.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so real quick, right behind him on second base is the flash pointing directly towards him and the camera, which is what's lighting up the hose spray.
Right. Okay. That's orange.
That has a three-quarter CTO on it.
Okay.
The key light is a bare flash. Again, it has to be a bare flash because I needed all the power. Is off the camera left, and that has I think it was a full CTB. Which means we went the full spectrum of blue to orange, which when I correct for his white pants and his skin tones, makes that background really orange. Now, I wanted it orange, like a nice bright, like a nice sunny day, and like, even though maybe it's rain, but it doesn't really look like rain. I wanted it to look kind of like just sparkle, just be something visually interesting. Mm-hmm. My plan was, I also wanted it to be blue, but I wasn't sure which one I wanted. So I did the orange, went out there to snap it, got rained on, and ran off the field before all of our stuff was ruined. All my equipment was ruined. Mm-hmm. My original plan was to then flip those flashes around so that we would have one with a blue background, one with an orange, and then compare. And the blue might have been better.
In my head, if you just cut this picture out from the mound around the pitcher and then turned that orange to blue, it would be, again, it just in my head, much more visually appealing to me.
We're going
to
find out.
And it would look more like baseball to me. Like, for whatever reason, it just doesn't belong. It just doesn't make sense because if that's rain, I need it to be more blue.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Even though the lights at a stadium, do they burn orange? They probably burn a little bluer.
I think bluer than this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. However, we did a couple shots where he was actually pitching the ball, but it requires a little bit of messing around to get lined up perfectly so that he's basically pitching in front of the flash.
Yeah.
And we had two shots at it and then had to get off the field, and so that one didn't really work out that well. So, again, this is something I have something very specific in mind that's going to look really cool, and we're going to do this again. Ironically, when it's sunny. Not sunny, but not raining. That's the key. So yeah. There you go. I happen to actually like the photo. I in my head, I know where it's going. So for me, it's going to be a good start. We'll take a bunch more team photos of the guys like this.
Okay.
There you go. I still win because I actually did the proper.
Right. Yeah. No.
Topic.
I like my photo better.
That's not what I said, though. Yeah. So there's that. I mean, I'm assuming this one will also go on Sarah's wall, though.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, and I just wanted to mention, because I did another photo I put in the Dropbox. It wasn't meant to be the challenge photo, but I basically, again, took the knowledge that you imparted to me last week when you had the picture of Sam. Uh-huh. And I used it, a similar technique, to take a picture of my son with a water gun, which is basically another backlit photo where I just tried to light the back of him and then the water, and then I used another flash held by my voice-activated light stand of a wife to light his face, And this was taken in the middle of the day and made to look like night. And I put this photo up on my website too, because I love this effect. And he was squirting the water gun right at me and managed to, again, get a tiny droplet on my lens, which shows up in the picture. And I really like. I think it adds to it. So
it does.
This was the Alien Bee in behind him on low power, and then a flash from front right. On, I don't remember, lowish power. You can get a little bit of blur in the water, but not on him. So I'm guessing that the power wasn't low enough to completely stop the water, but I'm fine with it. I like the motion of the water.
Looks good.
So yeah, and like you say, that's middle of the day. So I just think it's such a cool effect. So I'm glad that you talked about that last week. Not if anyone cares to know how to do it, then listen to last week's episode.
Do it. It's something I'm going to shoot a whole lot more of, because I happen to like it and experiment with it. But not just water, but backlighting, like a background, a middle ground, I guess it's kind of what it is, a middle background. We'll have to coin a phrase.
And I'm not sure like what lit the water here, if it was the front light or the backlight or a combination of the two, but I just love the fact that I cropped it because you get a little bit of light on the grass with the way I did this, and I didn't want that. I wanted the black kind of background with just seeing a little bit of the bricks in behind. Super cool to think that middle of the day you can cut all this light and just expose for the water and for the person.
We had one guy at the park last night who was essentially just watching, one of the guys on the team, watching us take the photo. And I showed the guys the photo afterwards because they had no idea. Like no one could understand why I needed the hose. Why do you need the, what do you want to take a picture of water for? And so I showed them after, you know, here's what we did. And they thought, oh, that looks great. That looks cool. And then the one guy asked, how can you make it look like nighttime? You know, and so that's kind of, that does confuse a lot of people. Like, but it's light out. How come it's so dark?
Right.
So, well, listen to the show. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Yeah. And I got that same question about when I was taking photos for prom people, and hey, it's the middle of the day, why are you using flash? There's plenty of light out here.
Yeah,
why are you using flash? And I just refer them to the website.
Can't you just HDR? Like, that is totally bleh. I don't even know what the kids are saying nowadays. I won't embarrass myself. Yeah. Probably not gag me with a spoon. Probably not saying
that
anymore.
I think they've got something better.
Yeah. So this week's topic. We have a topic this week.
We do.
With all the summer stuff, with all the sports and what have you, and this will happen in the winter with hockey too, but you have your team sports, you need a team photo.
Yes.
We've talked about group photos, but have we talked about composite group photos? Sort of.
I don't know ever specifically, but it's something that's out there for anybody who has a kid that plays hockey. They do it a ton here, but I'm going to guess you can insert whatever team sport your child is involved in. And often at tournaments, they'll have the little photography company show up and they'll do this. And then they don't do it for no charge, but then they want to sell you the photo for $60. And they're usually printed as kind of like these wide panoramas. And the prints are usually, the ones I've seen are kind of big and long. They're like 12 by 36s usually.
Mm-hmm.
And they go for, somewhere in the neighborhood of about $60. And I've just, every time I see them done, I'm like, it's just a green screen. They sometimes shoot individuals. Sometimes they shoot them in pairs. And they each kind of, you know, pick their own pose, or the photographer kind of gives them a pose. And then you put together this kind of team shot that looks really, really cool. You can kind of, most of the companies that do this have a set background that they use for all of them. So in Vancouver, it's usually some kind of mountain background that they use. And then they put the team name and there you go. Instant, super cool team photo. Totally different than the one that, you know, they usually pose for, which is them sitting on a little bench. And again, I'm perfectly fine with, I kind of like the nostalgia of those photos, but this is a really cool thing that people like. And I just thought, hey, I have all the tools here. I think I can do this. So that's what I set out to do. So when we were mentioning things that did interesting, I decided to pack up my green screen and take it to baseball. And we have a relatively small t-ball team that Jack plays on. And I decided I'm going to do, there's eight players, I'm going to do green screen photos of each kid. And then I'm going to make this kind of team photo via green screen.
Okay, so did you do this inside?
No. This is all out right at the field. And this was all done in 15 minutes because, or the photo part of it was done in 15 minutes because they have a little 15-minute practice time, and then they, or 15 to 20 minutes, and then they do two little 20-minute games. They play like a one-inning game against two different teams, and there's three teams, and you cycle through. So you have your practice time, and then you have your game time. So in the 20-minute practice slot, as they're practicing, I was just pulling one kid over at a time, and I took about three or four photos of each kid, all in, I'm going to say, roughly a minute and a half, and my wife can vouch for me because she was there assisting. This was done very, very quickly.
So you shot each kid individually?
Each kid individually on the green screen, because I don't have a wide enough green screen.
So I mean, if
I had a wider one, which I don't, then I could have done probably pairs or maybe even three. But the one I have is only whatever, I want to say it's 6 feet across. I don't have the 10 or 12 foot, whatever size of it.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. First of all, I want to mention, if you want to see the photo we're talking about, you have to go to Adam's website.
Yeah, I'm going to post it on my website because I asked parents about posting this on my website. I felt a little bit weird asking everybody if I could post this on Facebook. It's just I'm not there yet to asking that, and I kind of feel like it's a bit weird, but I have a photography website. I would like to post this. I'm giving it to everybody just out of the kindness of my heart because this is what I do. So I'm hoping for no objections. You'll know if it's on my website. So far I've gotten everybody saying yes, so I think I'm just waiting on one or two more people. But yeah, it should be on my website. I'm really thinking there's not going to be any objections here.
So check it out at adamschwartz.ca. You'll know the one we're talking about now.
And it will be in my creative section. I have kind of a creative section, so you'll see on the links. Go to the part that says creative, and you'll see it's the only team photo there.
So now you're taking these shots individually. One of the things I noticed right away is that you are alternating between hitting and fielding.
Yes. So
is that
on purpose? I did that purposefully, yes.
Okay.
So is that a word, purposefully or on purpose? Yeah, I did it on purpose.
Sure. I'll ask Jenna Elfman.
Yeah.
So you go through, so now is that something you had in mind ahead of time? Like you told, hey, I got eight kids, four of you do this.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Why is that important?
I just thought in terms of if I had like six bats and two gloves, I just thought it would look unbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, I was like, all right, I know a lot of the kids were going to have a preference. I did not give them the option. I basically bring your glove. Next kid, I just handed the bat. You're going to stand with the bat. I had I directed them to the poses.
Oh, so that one kid, the second kid with the bat, he's not really playing baseball. He's like collecting a vig.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was basically trying to have him bunt, but they don't really know what a bunt is at this point.
Yeah.
And it was pretty awkward getting his hand placement, and so this was the closest thing to bunt. I still like it. I just think it's a cute picture.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was our first attempt at trying to show a 6-year-old a bunt.
Okay, now once you got that set, you've decided what each kid's pose is going to be.
Yep.
Lighting wise, what did you do for lighting?
So this is two speed lights. So I just basically, had one kind of front camera right in the, portable softbox that we both own, that Q-Box softbox. So little quick, easy mini softbox. So that's the key light. And then I have another, flash that's sort of 3/4 in behind that's in an umbrella, and it's doing a combo of some soft light from the back, but it's also providing the light on the green screen. Because I only wanted to do with two lights, I went umbrella and a soft backlight because I wanted it to basically do both. And I would have needed two lights to evenly light the green screen from behind. Mm-hmm. And I was also trying to look at wanting to keep them somewhat in a little bit of the shade so that so that again, just to, because again, it was a time where there's enough overhead light. I didn't want to have to battle that light either. So because I had to move them in the shade, then I also had to do some lighting with the green screen. So this was really just an easy two light setup. One an umbrella, kind of 3/4 in behind them, getting both their back shoulders a bit and the green screen at the same time, and then the other light just off center to camera right, feathered across them in the cue box.
And so, but you didn't alter the lighting. It's important to have the same lighting on each kid.
Exactly. So I even went as far as to place a glove on the ground. And once I had my setup, they all stood on the glove for their photo. So mm-hmm. I knew that once I had the exposure right on one of them, as long as I gave the flash recycle time, enough time to recharge, I was not going to have to deal with any lighting conditions. So every kid stood on the glove. I wasn't doing a full body shot. I just thought it was going to be too much trouble as far as the green screening part went. So I just went with upper body shots, way easier, way mm-hmm. faster. And like you said, all in 15 minutes, every kid was cycled through. And I was happy. All the lighting on them was the lighting setup that I had worked great. My wife was like, wow, that was easy when we finished it, which is usually not what she says when I'm taking a family photo.
And relatively little hair to deal with, just the one kid really. And other than that, not much hair to cut out.
And that was the beauty of it, was that, and that's what I said to my wife, is that hats are magic for doing green screen photography. Uh-huh. Like these were all cut out in like, literally I spent a minute like, you know, removing them from the backgrounds on each photo because, again, didn't have the hair to deal with, and the hats really create a nice outline. And also just their poses, like most of them, there isn't a lot of little in-between spaces. So their arms being together really helps, or the glove being in front of them. There aren't these tiny little gaps. So really they cut out effortlessly. Only the one kid on the far left whose hair I had to do a bit of cloning just to fill in a few of the tiny little green spots.
Right. My son's going to join us for the last 1 minute of the podcast this week.
Perfect. And then background, I just basically went looking for backgrounds. And I found something that just was low profile, simple background of a baseball diamond. And then I did, there was different things in the photo that I photoshopped out. There were some power lines and stuff that I photoshopped out. But again, all that took about 5 minutes to clean it up to be kind of the generic baseball diamond that I wanted to be. I wanted the background to pretty much just be baseball diamond and really not distract at all. And so
right.
I think that this one, again, it's the angle that I wanted, and it's just pretty much, to me, it's just any baseball diamond.
And it's nice because you can do that later, and if you don't like it, you can always change it. So what you do is you take all the pictures, process them the same, like process one, I would imagine, and then just copy and paste the settings.
Yeah, you can do it that way, or again, depending on what version of Photoshop you're doing. Some of them, the older version, you might have to do them separately, but it's pretty easy to do.
No, but you shoot raw though, and you process them in Lightroom.
Oh, you mean just the actual processing of the photos?
The,
yeah,
the contrast, the color, everything.
Yeah. And so then copy that all the way across. Yeah,
right. So you have a consistency going.
Yeah,
that's important. Yep. Now, what I find is that it's important to have consistency amongst the individuals. However, in terms of, you don't really have to have the consistency with the background itself.
Right.
So the lighting, obviously, the lighting in your background doesn't really match the lighting in the kids, but that doesn't seem to matter because this is an obvious composite. You're not trying to do something photorealistic.
Right.
This is a composite because their legs disappear. You know, that's all fine. So that's kind of something I wouldn't spend too much time worrying about, trying to find, where's the sun on this one? Or is it overcast? Yeah. Or, you know, don't worry too much about that.
Yes, exactly. And then there's somewhere, if you went with a really dark night backlit like stadium lights photo, it would make even less sense here. It would look more obvious. So I try to go with something that was like, hey, this is kind of like the lighting on them. I was meant to look like daytime lighting. So I just went with, I'm going to look for a daytime photo of a baseball diamond because that to me makes more sense with how I lit them.
Right. Great. Now this is something that nostalgia for me, I like the nostalgia of the old lousy photos. And
yes.
They're not that lousy, really, but there's the kind of generic you know, okay, guys in the front, hands on your knees, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we have one of those. We got one of those, and this is just like, oh, something totally different. And I think the kids themselves, like this to me was something that I think the kids will appreciate much more than that other photo, which they might look at once and be like, ah, yeah, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. The parents like the nostalgia of the other photos, but I really think the kids like this. And Jack immediately is like, you know, he loved it, and so did Sarah. And like you say, I really like it because it's sort of, you know, gets the creative juices flowing. And this was really easy to do. I think people think this is much more difficult than it actually is.
Right. And if you want to know more about the green screen process, listen back to a year ago. When did we ever do it? We did the green screen. But you and I did an episode all about how to shoot green screen, where we composited ourselves on an outdoor hockey rink or something.
That's
like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And all, again, done in just minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty handy technique to have in your bag. Well, there you go. That's it. Challenge for next week.
I hope you've got one.
I do. It's summer. Let's just do a summer photo.
Summer.
Summer.
Okay.
Like your photos. Summer good, summer bad. Wah, 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 wah.
Yes.
All right, drive safe. I'll be here all week.
Okay.
Websites, Adam. Well, we have to go to adamschwartz.ca to see this photo, so.
Yeah, I hope it's there. I hope everyone's not wildly disappointed, but yeah, I plan on it being there. So adamschwartz.ca for my stuff, and Facebook, I will try to keep posting things on there. I've been a little bit lackadaisical when it comes to my Facebooking, but check out the Two Hosers Facebook as well, and what about your stuff?
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com. Where you can find all the links to everything that we just talked about. And more. Probably more than just that. Sam, can you say hello to the people? What do you got to say? Nothing.
Wow.
That's a bit big, anticlimactic, son.
Big talker.
Yeah. At least say mama. That's the favorite word. Mama? Okay. Way to finish strong, kid. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.